Again, this morning we want to return to our look at the series of messages on object lessons found in the Bible. And today's message is on the object water well. A water well. Probably you are familiar with the little saying, what's hot and what's not, what's in and what's out. There are certain topics that seemingly are very popular among Christian people, and we say, of course, that's what's hot. If you took a poll and asked the question to various Christian people, what's the hot subject today? What's the hot button topic today? As far as you're concerned, what is the thing that you'd like to talk most about? I don't know what tickles most religious ears today. Maybe the fastest way to find out without taking a door-to-door or person-to-person poll would be to go to a bookstore, Christian bookstore, and see what is the number one seller on the list. Maybe run down the top 10. What's selling? What's appealing? And that, of course, would tell you what's hot, what's in, and, of course, tell you what's not. You can usually do this and go to a bookstore, and you'll find certain books that are always popular. Probably at the top of the list will be a book on the signs of the time, the Lord's return. And then there's probably going to be one on how to invest your money, how to get your financial house in order, and maybe on the soon coming financial earthquake or collapse in America. Probably there'll be one book on the occult or Satanism. Of course, there's a positive thinking series, those who want to help you how to overcome depression and deal with your difficulties and problems. Always be a book. Probably on how to have a more meaningful, successful relationship between a husband and a wife. Probably one on how to deal with teenagers. Mostly books dealing with problems. And that would probably be what's hot. You can also do the same kind of survey by listening to Christian radio. You'll hear the things that's on the minds of most of the people. Probably a great concern about the question of abortion. That's always hot. Then, of course, there is always the question of prayer and Bible reading in school and the Supreme Court decisions, and that's always hot. There's always some discussion about those retailers who, in their subsidiaries, publish pornography magazines and how to boycott against them to bring about a change and cause them to stop producing this material and supporting it. That's a hot subject, so to speak. Homosexuality is always a hot subject. And, of course, the attack being made upon the American family by the environment and by, of course, society and by everything that we see about us, advertising world and television and magazines and movies, these things are a hot subject. And, of course, the question of lawlessness and violence, that's a hot topic. Recently about records advocating the killing of policemen, even one, I think, advocating the killing of the president. So these are the hot topics. This is what's in. And I believe I've probably covered most of the subjects that would fall into that category. We say this is what the Christians thirst for. And you meet with these Christians and you begin to talk with them, and the conversation will soon drift to one of these various categories. What I want to talk to you about this morning is a topic that's not hot. Never has been, but it ought to be at the top of the list. It ought to be the number one subject about which Christians discuss things. The number one thing we want to understand and participate in. I want to talk about the one topic that's not hot. I want to phrase it this way. There ought to be a distinctive driving thirst in the life of a spiritual man. That ought to be the hot topic, the number one driving thirst. Now, it's natural for a man to, during the daytime, get thirsty for a drink. But we seem to be losing our thirst for just plain old water. Maybe it's because we're afraid it's contaminated. We're afraid to drink it. But today it seems we have to doctor up our water with colas and with tea and with juices. Just plain old water is not good enough anymore. The spiritual man seems to be following the same kind of trend. He has a thirst, but it's not a thirst for the living, pure water that he ought to be thirsting for. Instead, he's thirsting for entertainment when he goes to worship. Or he's thirsting for a miracle. Everybody almost is involved in some kind of program or today of wouldn't you like to be healed? Well, of course, everybody would like to be healed. As I mentioned some time ago in this series of messages, if God heals you, all he's done is just restored you to being normal. Thank God you don't need a healing. But all healing does is just make you a normal person again. But you know, people who are sick, and I understand this, and I sympathize, I can see there is a thirst for health, and this is natural, but there is a dramatic thirst today in the church for miracles. There's a thirst for understanding the signs of the times around us, trying to predict as close as we can, when will Jesus come again? There's a thirst of how to deal with the cares and the problems around us in our society. But we don't have the thirst just for the plain old inner spiritual water. Whatever happened to this thirst? And so, well water is our object today. You can pretty well guess where I'm going in my text. I'm going to the story of Jesus as he was on his way to Galilee and passing through a region known as Samaria. He sent his disciples to the nearest city to buy food, and Jesus picks a spot to wait for them to return. John 4, verses 5 through 7, then came he to a city of Samaria. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat down on the well. And there came a woman from Samaria to draw water from the well. And Jesus said to her, and I'm going to stick in a word here that's not there, I'm thirsty. Give me a drink. Now, I want to focus, first of all, on the statement that Jesus was weary and the statement Jesus was thirsty. We take this to mean, well, he was tired. He was weary. He had been walking a long ways, and he was physically tired, and he wanted to sit down and rest. We can understand that. And being thirsty, he wanted a drink of water. So that's not real difficult. Let me say to you now, I'm not so sure that's the way we ought to interpret the word weary and the word thirsty. I say this because what takes place at this well, and because he never does get a drink of water. And so I say he was thirsty, but I don't really believe he was thirsty for a literal drink of liquid water. I think he had another thirst. And you say, well, how about being weary? Well, I think there was a weariness not in his body, but there was a weariness in his spirit. His spirit had a thirst. And the thirst of his spirit was not for natural water, but what his thirst was for had made his spirit weary. All right? Just try to follow with me if you will. I think this is further verified by verse 28 to 32. The lady left the water pot. By the way, it had never been placed down in the well. It had never become wet. It had never gotten a drink of water for Jesus. Jesus left the water pot, went away to the city, and said, "Come see the man which told me all things I ever did, and I believe he's Christ." And so they went out of the sea, came unto him, and in the meanwhile, now notice, while she was gone, the water pot was still there. And by the way, Jesus could have lowered the water pot in the well, and he could have gotten himself a drink. There was the pot. I don't think she would have minded. He didn't do that. His disciples returned with some food, and they say, "Here you are, Master. You're hungry. Now eat." And Jesus said, "Hungry? Thirsty? I'm not hungry. And now I'm no longer thirsty." Now I'm putting those words in verse 32. He said, "I have had meat," and I want to go on and say, "I have had nourishment that you just don't know anything about, fellas." And so the disciples were truly puzzled. What on earth is he talking about? You know, where he get any food to eat? Well, that which he was weary for was not physical food, but his weariness had been satisfied. Well, what happened? The water pot was dry, so he was not thirsty for water, but his thirst had been satisfied. What happened? Well, we're talking about a thirst and a hunger within the Spirit of Jesus, not within his body. When Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, "If you hunger and thirst," he's not talking about the body. He's talking about the Spirit. I'll ask you this. Say, "Well, Jesus was tired and thirsty." How about the disciples? I mean, they didn't have to sit down and rest. They had enough strength to go into the nearest city and provide food. I mean, is Jesus the weakling of the group? Is he the one who just cannot continue on because he's the one who is most likely to get thirsty and most likely to fold up and get tired? I don't see the disciples having any problem going on. I don't see the disciples having the same hunger and thirst that Jesus had. All right? So I believe there is a physical hunger, a physical thirst. There is a spiritual hunger and a spiritual thirst. And Jesus, at the well, had his mind on the thirst of his spirit and the weariness of his spirit and that which would satisfy that thirst. I think that's what was on the mind of Jesus. And here comes the woman, and he says, here comes the person who can answer the supply of the need of my thirst. And it wasn't with physical water, and it was not with food, for she had no food to give it. Well, Paul said in one of his letters, "Be not weary in well-doing." I don't think Paul is saying, don't get physically tired as you seek to do the will of God. But instead, he's talking about spiritual weariness. Don't lose faith. Don't lose courage. Don't lose strength. Don't lose determination. Keep on going in your spirit. Keep on driving in your spirit. And I think Paul was giving instructions to the inner man, not to the outer man. Now, Christ came to the world to do what? Seek and to save the lost. To give man abundant life, to set free the captives of sin, all right? Now, Jesus came to this earth to a people, his, the Jewish people, who seemingly did not have the same thirst that he had, nor did they want him to give them that which would satisfy the thirst which he hoped they would have. They had a what's hot, what's not thirst. And at that time, it was a thirst for healings. It was a thirst for miracles. There was even the thirst to crown him the king and put him up as the ruler over Israel and enable him or hopefully cause him to instigate a rebellion against Rome and take Israel back as to be a nation. They had a thirst for that kind of political deliverance. But there was no real thirst within their spirit for what Jesus came to give them in his little water pot, in his little bread basket. They had no thirst or no hunger for what food Jesus had brought from heaven. The manna from heaven was not a desire of that. That was not a what's hot topic. That wasn't an end subject. The religious leaders had no such thirst for His words, for His, He came to say the word. They had no thirst for His salvation. He said of His ministry, He came unto His own and they received Him not. Now, they had a thirst, and they'd follow Him around for the free food He passed out, free lunches of bread and fish, but they had no thirst for Him to be their Savior. No thirst for Him to be their Messiah. No thirst for Him to be their Christ. And so they had a thirst for something other than what He really wanted to give to them. And so Jesus would come and say, I have water and I have food. And you have a thirst and you have a need within your spirit. Would you let me give you water for what you really are thirsting for on the inside? Let me give you deliverance from sin. Let me give you deliverance from condemnation. Let me give you what I want to give you. And so when Jesus could not give the gift He came to give, when He could not give water from His water pot and fruit from His basket, then I think Jesus became weary. He became disappointed as He faced the opposition and as He saw the people disinterested in the very thing He came to give them was manna and spiritual drink of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of God for the Spirit and for all their demands. Give us a sign, give us a sign. And Jesus said, I have come not to give signs and to give all these things. I have come to give you a drink from the living well. I've come to give you food from heaven. Isn't there someone who has a hunger and a thirst for what I really want to give you? And Jesus did not find many takers. He just was offering a drink that wasn't in. He was offering food that wasn't in. Our way we say, it wasn't hot. Not in the literal sense, fresh off the stove. But it was, what's hot and what's not? Well, that was not a hot subject. And so people are the wells to which Jesus comes. Not to get water, but to give water. And that's the thirst He has. Can I give you a drink? Not will you give me a drink. Can I give you a drink? And are you being your spirit? And so Jesus was saying to the woman, would you remove my weariness? She didn't understand. Would you refresh my spirit? And she did not understand. Would you make my journey today worthwhile? Would you make my day for me? Would you make this a pleasant day for me? She did not understand. And giving him a physical drink of water from the water pot would not have done that. That doesn't make our day as Christians, people, to get a good cool glass of tea. It's not going to make your day as a Christian. It'll not remove the spiritual weariness. I don't mean of your problems, but there ought to be a number one topic that you want to give to other people. The supply of water and food that comes from God. Apparently she had no desire, no thirst, no hunger to satisfy Christ at the beginning. Actually, she never did give him a drink of water. She misunderstood his thirst, and I think a lot of people do today. What is it that Christ wants to refresh him? What is it that you can do that'll grant him relief for the grief and the weariness that the Lord Himself feels? John 4, let's go on that story, verse 9 and 10. Then said the woman of Samaria, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink of water? Don't you know I'm a woman of Samaria? For the Jews don't have any dealings with Samaritans. Jesus said to her, if you knew, lady, if you just knew what we were doing here, and if you just knew what we were talking about, and if you just knew, now you notice he asked her, first of all, for a gift, in a sense, a gift of water, a gift from her water pot. Give me a drink of water, we say, okay? He said, lady, if you really knew what's going on here, you'd say to me, and this is what he really wanted her to say. This was his thirst. This was the weirdness in his spirit. If you just say to me, lady, give me a drink, you would have asked me, and I would have given you a drink. I would have given you the drink of living water. And they're really confused. You know, hey, Jesus had no water pot. He's talking about her now asking him for water. And she said, this doesn't make any sense at all to me. What do you mean asking? He said, I've got water, lady. If you get mine, it'll be a well of living water flowing up from within you. And so Jesus was making it clear, lady, I'm really not interested in a drink of water from you. What I really want to do is give you a drink of water. What I really want to do is stir within you a thirst and then quench that thirst by giving to you a drink of water that you have never tasted. Finally, it dawned on her. What was she being offered? He was offering her salvation for her soul and her spirit. And he termed this living waters. It'll give your spirit life. Natural water does not give a spirit life. It gives the body life. Verse 13, answered Jesus unto her, whosoever drinks of this water from this well, you'll get thirsty again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall continue to be a well of water springing up within into everlasting life. As the story goes on, finally Jesus gets her to take the drink. Not from the well, but from his hand, he gives her, I believe, salvation. And she calls him the Christ, as she talks about him in the city. She calls him the Savior. That may have been the only person that day, people, Jesus was able to catch. The only one that day Jesus was able to save. And he said, when all took place and she took the drink, he says, now my thirst has been satisfied. The thirst to give living water away to this lost woman. And anybody else who's lost, God has a thirst to save the lost people. And when he cannot save a person, that thirst goes undenied. He has a hunger to save the lost, deliver them from sin. And if that does not happen, and his hunger goes unsupplied. And so he gave her the gift of living water. The disciples came back, and Jesus said, I don't need food. I've already had my food. I've been refreshed. I mean, I just had an experience. Something just happened while you boys were away that really brought joy to my heart, and I gave away a drink of water, and I fulfilled the thirst of another person. Now I am satisfied. And so Jesus has a thirst for people who need salvation. Now, I want to close with this part to you, people. And a lot of Christians don't understand this. There are a lot of folks you try to win to Christ that you say, well, they don't have a thirst. And if you truly understand what's going on, it breaks your heart. Why don't you see this, guys? I mean, why would you want to go to hell? Don't you understand pain? And I don't respond, and so there's no thirst. And we go away weary, just as Jesus did. And we go away unfulfilled. I wanted to give them a drink, and they wouldn't let me. And so maybe we can find somebody else down the road that we can give the drink of running water, of living water. But there is another thirst, people, that Jesus also says he has. And I'll close with this. There is not only a thirst to deliver a person from the condemnation of sin. You might call it the penalty of sin. But Jesus also has a thirst to deliver a person from the power of sin. That's what ought to be hot, and it's not. If you this morning be a Christian, that's what ought to be at the top of your list. You know, we want somehow to get Jesus have his thirst quenched in giving us freedom from hell, but not freedom from sin. And God still goes away weary, because the salvation he gives is just not to take you to heaven, but it's to take sin out of your life here while you live here. And he says, I'll give you a well that springs up into living water, which gives unto you a changed life. There ought to be a thirst when Jesus comes to us. And we say, Jesus, I've got a thirst within me. A thirst for salvation from sin's power, from the character flaws and the personality flaws. I need a cleansing and a purifying. I have a thirst to be made pure in my life. Would you satisfy that thirst? Now that's what you mean when you hunger and thirst after righteousness. Huh? Now we're down to that. And Jesus, really in the Holy Spirit, for the Christian, that's the number one thirst that God has, is to give you the life of Christ, which is sinless. Now, I know we can't be perfect, but the thirst is there. How happy the Lord is when we come to the Holy Spirit and we say, Holy Spirit, make me holy, purify me, and cleanse me. And God wants to see people saved from hell, but he also wants to see them saved from sin. God is wearied as he comes to his own people and he finds so few people thirsty for salvation from sin. Power in their life. And that's tragic. And the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, goes away grieved and quenched. He comes to us with a drink of pure water to purify our lives, our tongues, our minds, our hearts, our walk. And we say, oh, I'm not thirsty for that. Give me a miracle. Give me a sign. Give me a healing. Give me, give me, give me. And the Holy Spirit goes away grieved. That's not my number one thirst. But my number one thirst is to give you the life that Christ lives. Just like that. Think about it, people.